that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. On today's show, we talk with two members of Uncle Dad's Art Collective about their major production at Chico State's Lackson Auditorium. It's called The Songs of Stevie Wonder, in which compositions by the music icon are given new interpretations by talented local musicians and dancers. You'll hear all about this event, happening a week from now on March 9th and 10th. We'll also talk with artist Molly Amick about her imaginative magic realist collages, currently showing at Beatnik's Coffee House in Chico. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Ball with the North State Arts Calendar.
The Orland Art Center's latest exhibit, The Artist and the Camera, displays images by members of the Tehama County Photo Club. The center's open Tuesday through Saturday, 1 to 6. In Chico, the Blue Room Theater finishes its run of the psychological thriller Bug. Only two more chances to sit on the edge of your seat at this intense performance, tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. Come and meet those dancing feet. Inspire School of Arts and Sciences presents the showbiz musical 42nd Street. The final three performances are tonight and tomorrow at 7 p.m. and a Sunday matinee at 2. See Inspire's talented teens tap their way through the Broadway scene of the 1930s. It's happening at the Chico Center for the Arts on East Avenue at the edge of Pleasant Valley High School. At CSU Chico, enter the enchanted woods of Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream. Meet mixed-up pairs of lovers and magical fairy folk in this comedy fantasy, opening 7:30 next Thursday night at Wismer Theater in Chico State's Performing Arts Center. Three working women stick it to their sexist boss in Chico Theater Company's production 9 to 5, The Musical, opening tonight at 7:30. Enjoy lots of original songs by Dolly Parton in this delightful musical comedy. The Janet Turner Print Museum at CSU Chico features a solo exhibit by the winner of the 11th Turner National Print Competition, Florin Hadigan. Visit the Turner anytime between 11 and 4, Monday through Saturday. The current show at the Jackie Headley University Art Gallery at Chico State, Revolutionizing the World, The Russian Revolution at its Centenary. The galleries open Monday through Friday, 10 to 4, and Saturday, noon to 4. At MoCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, the exhibit What? Us Worry? Features sculptures by Tony Natsoulis, Paul DePasqua, and Michael Stevens. MoCA, on the Esplanade across from Chico High, is open Thursday through Sunday, 11 to 5. A Beautiful Life Furnishings in Chico opens a new exhibit showing colorful paintings by Richard Whitehead, inspired by his travels through Santa Fe and Italy. Meet the artist himself at a reception tonight, beginning just 2 hours from now at 5 o'clock at A Beautiful Life on 1st Street in downtown Chico. In Paradise at Theater on the Ridge, Every Brilliant Thing, a heart-wrenching yet very funny one-man play with Jerry Miller. Showtimes are 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night, and Sunday at 2. That's the calendar for this week. Novelist John Irving was born on today's date. If you're lucky enough to find a way of life you love, Irving expressed, you have to find the courage to live it.
was a summer day. My chérie, amour, distant as the Milky Way.
I'm at a rehearsal with Uncle Dad's Art Collective and other people who are working with them. They're getting ready for a big production. It's going to be at Laxon Auditorium at Chico State a week from tonight and a week from tomorrow night. It's called The Songs of Stevie Wonder. Here's Joshua Haig. What makes Stevie Wonder such a unique presence in American music?
He's the epitome of high-quality songwriting. Off the beaten path already. So for our show, what was a challenge is how to keep that fresh without relying on the things Stevie had already done, the chords he had already written, his vocal virtuosity. How can we feature the music in a new light without relying on Stevie's voice? Because no one in Chico has Stevie's voice, which they shouldn't. You know, that's Stevie Wonder. We're rewriting it for a Chico audience with Chico musicians.
You've done a lot of these big productions now. I think the last one was Abbey Road, the Beatles album. Why do you take on the challenge of doing these huge productions in the biggest venue in Chico, Laxon Auditorium?
The idea was always to take well-known material as kind of a gateway for people to feel comfortable and inspired to come into a theater, then use local talent to make them see what they have in their backyard in terms of local art and music. I always like to say the best part about this is that it's Chico musicians for a Chico audience. The whole thing is very organic and can only happen in this town, and that's always really exciting.
Well, let's talk to one of the arrangers who also is playing on stage at Laxon Auditorium in a week. This is Ethan Sweat. What's it like arranging for this big sound to fill this big auditorium, Laxon Auditorium?
It's an absolute blast. One of the biggest challenges in this show, I think, is making it unique, kind of changing chords and different feels with the songs to make it Uncle Dad's. One of the things about Stevie and his compositions is you're kind of playing with what's already perfection. To rearrange that and try to make it your own, you have to tread lightly and still be a little bit loyal.
How many total musicians are playing in this event?
About 45 people, and that's including performance artists, dancers, singers, band. The core band is four horns, four strings, three vocalists, two guitars, bass, two pianos, two keyboardists, and two drummers. It's a huge ensemble. And then on top of that, each song features one or more local artists in it. That's the music side. On the visual side, we have nine dancers doing different styles and working throughout the set to kind of bring it visual cohesiveness.
What's been the feedback from the choreographers about turning this iconic music into dance?
Last year, our Abbey Road show was everything in the kitchen sink. I mean, it was hundreds of people. This year, we wanted it to be a music-centric show, which we thought meant an easier show for the performance artists. But in fact, I think it's more challenging. Our choreographers, Rachel Fichtum and Sidus Choop, had to design choreography that didn't always steal attention. There's a lot of soloists, music solos, and so it's our choreographer's job to frame them and make them feel visually part of this world while they're exploring compositions auditorily. The choreography is more expressive because they have to be more clever in how they're doing that stuff. It's not just bombastic, let's throw 30 people on stage and see what they do. Though there is some of that. They go there. But I think on a visual element, it was interesting. Like, how do you do simple and elegant in a way that still makes people feel they're part of something that's not a theater in the middle of Chico? You know, what's otherworldly but still fits this classic vibe that we're trying to go for?
So you're going for otherworldly. Is there a fantastical component to what's on the stage?
When we started writing the script for this show, we said the idea was to go from black and white or monochromatic to color over the course of the show via the music, the way the music is performed, as well as the lighting design, the set, everything moves in that direction. You slowly go from this place of simplicity to this place of otherworldly, colorful, kind of like the intro scene of Wizard of Oz, you know, black and white to Technicolor. That's kind of how it feels like it's kind of turned into, which is really fun and really a visually stunning thing to see.
Tell us a little bit about the so-called story, loosely tying all this together.
Last year we had one storyline, but this year we're thinking of each song of this show as a vignette that paints a specific picture that stands alone, but then feeds the larger concept of this transformation that happens throughout the entire piece, which is more inspiring because things can live completely isolated. There's one number, not to give too much away, but we're going full salsa in terms of the music and the dance. What was freeing as an artist is we didn't have to tie that in anywhere. We want to go into a ballet folkloric salsa number. Then we want to go reggae in the next piece. So what? We'll do it. And that was really inspiring, I think, on the creative side.
So you were talking just now about a transformation. What is transforming into what?
The first number of the night is My Cherie Amour, which people hopefully know. But it's presented in a very relaxed way. And it's kind of a statement of the calm before the storm or some sort of statement of purity or simplicity. From there, the next number completely throws that out of the window. Kind of what we were going for was the idea at a moment's notice, things can move, things will change, moving you in the direction from this simplistic opening to this really bombastic ending that takes Stevie's music and boils it down into the colorful expression that we get from listening to the music.
Ethan, you're one of the arrangers for this music. Describe what that involves.
For the most part, it involves a lot of time in front of a computer screen by myself. That part I don't find particularly fun, but it's really, really fulfilling once you bring it to the band and see how they interpret it. A lot of the parts in the arrangements are written for specific players to see them take that part, which initially on the computer sounds like really boring robots, and have them bring it to life. It's very exciting.
Is it fun having a person in mind who's a local musician whom you know when you're coming up with the sounds that you want to have in the arrangement?
Absolutely. I know a little bit what to expect, so I can rely on them to make that part shine. For instance, the salsa number that Josh was talking about, Shigemi Minnetaka is playing piano all the way through it. For her part, I just wrote, play a montuno, and there's some chords there. So it's very little detail, and she takes it and makes it absolutely brilliant.
Josh, talk about some of the specific local musicians. Who are they, and why will they be a great addition to songs by Stevie Wonder?
One of the best things for me, maybe on a slightly selfish side, is the network of musicians in town that I know I can rely on and that I appreciate grows every time we do it. The family grows. So people that come to our shows, we'll see some people that have been staples throughout our tenure over at Laxon. Pat Hole is still involved, still doing his incredible stripped-down numbers. We spend hundreds of hours arranging and rehearsing a band. He comes out there with an acoustic guitar, brings the house down. It's kind of ridiculous. But a couple examples that I'm really happy for. I arranged Signed, Sealed, Delivered. I was having a hard time figuring out the direction to take it. I wanted it to be special and unique, but the original song relies so much on his voice. So talking about who to arrange that for, we settled on Lauren Sutton Beattie, who I worked with in Heather's the Musical. She has this incredible control of like a soulful voice. Knowing she was willing to go in like the gospel route, I decided to go full gospel in the arrangement of the piece. Each number feels uniquely fitted for the singer who's singing it. Kelly Houston singing Bird of Beauty was just incredible. I don't know if we necessarily knew what it was going to sound like because he's more of a crooner, jazz singer. Kyle Williams singing You Are the Sunshine of My Life. And then we did some really cool reworkings of certain songs in like a hip-hop feel that Hemp C, who's been a frequent collaborator, is doing. Like Ethan said, I think it's fascinating to see how people interpret the printed page we hand them in ways that are uniquely their own. This show has always been about collaboration. we had this great part where they said, hey, we want to add a New Orleans horn section, old New Orleans parade style. We were like, yeah, let's try it. You know, there's no really in this whole rehearsal process. From an audience perspective, you get to see the true boiled down creativity that this town has. There's just endless amounts of people that have endless ideas. It's our job as the leadership staff of this show and Uncle Dad's Art Collective in general to find those ideas and bring it to stage. And I think people at Laxon will get to see a microcosm of Chico's artistic brain.
Well, these big Uncle Dad's shows at Laxon have become a big draw. You know, the last few, as I mentioned, have sold out. People are just crazy about these. Why do you think the audiences are so drawn to these big productions?
Because they think it's actually Stevie Wonder performing. Apparently, Chico Performances has gotten a couple calls like, Stevie Wonder and Chico? Sorry, folks. I think people, at least I like to think that they know that we're genuinely interested in bringing something unique to the table. If people want a cover show, I would say go to Feather Falls Casino or Gold Country or something like that and see these amazing bands that take an artist note for note and make sure it's perfect. That's fine, and that's a cool strategy, but we're not interested in that. We're interested in the raw, unadulterated talent you can throw on a stage that has the spirit of the original artist's intent, but doesn't necessarily need to be what Stevie Wonder wanted it to be, because he doesn't care.
These big shows produced by Uncle Dad's Art Collective have been favorites for Chico audiences. They've sold out. That's why I'm telling you about this a week in advance of the event. I don't want people to be disappointed that the tickets are all gone when they want to go. So how do people get tickets, Josh?
The easiest way is just to go in person to the University box office, which is on 3rd and Chestnut, downtown Chico. You can call them too, 530-898-6333. And you can get them online. You can go to uncledad.co, uncledad.co. But if you do get them online, I think there is convenience fees. So if you're downtown, go support a local business, get a coffee or a sandwich or something. Go get your tickets and support Chico.
I've been talking with Joshua Haig and Ethan Sweat. They're from Uncle Dad's Art Collective in Chico. Talking about the songs of Stevie Wonder. That's the name of the production. A week from tonight at Laxon Auditorium at Chico State. Second performance is a week from tomorrow night. Thanks, guys, for filling us in on this big event. Songs of Stevie Wonder. That's the name of the theatrical performance, which features compositions by the music icon, given new interpretations by Chico's musicians and dancers. It's all happening a week from now, on March 9th and 10th, at the university's Laxon Auditorium.
With a voice like hell is ringing out, there's no way the band can lose. You can feel it all over. This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm speaking with artist Molly Amick about a show that she's having at the wonderful Beatnik's Coffee House at 1387 East 8th Street in Chico. She'll have her art there for the month of March, with a reception on Sunday, March 4th, from noon to 3 p.m. Molly, you were telling me the backstory of your art.
When I was a kid, I was fortunate to grow up in an era where the arts were still part of a public school education. Everyone took art and music through the eighth grade, and we always did art at home. We never really considered ourselves artists. Throughout my life, I have always engaged in some type of figure drawing, doing pastels.
Then you went on to get degrees.
My first degrees were in English literature and poetry. I think in the poetic tradition, I was always sort of attracted to Latin America, romantic realism, magic realism that has a wonderful ancient feel to it.
How did you turn into a visual artist?
That journey came unexpected. In June of 2015, I went in for my first mammogram at 50. A couple weeks later, walked away with a diagnosis of stage 4 breast cancer that had already metastasized. All breast cancers aren't equal. I happen to have a very aggressive type of breast cancer. I knew that I was going to be quitting my job and taking some time for myself to really live well and do something different. I had been a nurse practitioner for 22 years, and I was figuring I would write about this experience, but I just couldn't write about it at all. I'd end up bawling in my journal, writing really bad poetry, and it just didn't work. At the same time, a friend of mine who was an art teacher invited me over to do paper art. And my eyes sort of rolled back in my head. I was like, I don't want to go. And she was like, well, it's free wine. We're just going to sit around and drink some wine. I was like, oh, okay. I ended up going over for the day, just hanging out. We cut out some paper napkins. And at the end of the day, people started to look at what I was doing and go, wow, that's sort of cool. At the end of the day, she said, here's a pack of napkins. Take the stuff home. Why don't you play around with it? And I pulled it out one day. I started to look at it. And here are these napkins with skeletons and digitalis, Buddha. And I'm going, wow, these are sort of universal themes of life and death, ancient symbols. And I started to cut them out. And it really started to pull together like poetry for me. It was sort of an instantaneous friendship between these cocktail napkins and what I felt like I needed to say.
There seems to be a magic realism in your visual art now.
I'm really attracted to Celtic cultures, Latin American cultures, especially Mexican cultures, that are really rich in their metaphoric expressions of life and death. When you walk around Mexico, you see skulls everywhere. They're part of the food. They're part of the celebration. I'm also really attracted to nature images in the form of indigenous people, Native American representations. Those tend to work their way into my artwork, sort of form the basis of the themes. An image will come to me. It's almost like writing a poem. When I work with collage, it usually takes me a month to cut out all the images and work with it and sit with it. It will just sort of start to come together on its own. When it feels right, I go, yep, that's it.
There's a joyousness to the images. I'm thinking of the ferryman, a really handsome stag, using a pole to move forward through a magical forest.
I was looking at the idea of crossing the River Styx, which is, of course, where you pay the ferryman to cross into the underworld. I really like the stag. He sort of comes out of the forest to cross that River Styx in that piece. I got tired of looking at the Grim Reaper images. I wanted a more mystical woods type character.
And he encounters really magical fairies.
I love those figures because they were ballet dancers, and I don't usually use pink. I also oil paint, but when I work with collage, I end up working with colors that I would never choose in oil color. It's interesting, these two dancers morphed into fairies with wings. For me, collage just sort of frees me up in a way sometimes I have difficulty with in painting. I don't like to interpret the images a whole lot for people. The other new piece that I have is called The World of All Knowing, and that came out of a piece working on the Tree of Life and thinking about Eve getting all the bad rap for wanting to know something. I think knowledge is perfectly fine in life. I thought about it sarcastically at first, Eve gaining her mind and Adam losing his. But as I worked on that piece, I sort of morphed it into the idea that knowledge brings you peace. Brings you a different world. The world of all knowing is what we're all working towards, one of those universal themes in life.
Do you find any ties between your work and certain surrealist painters?
I've always liked abstract political images, Picasso and Matisse. I like that their pieces say something. My images are not as abstract.
A great deal of thought-provoking art. You can see how many pieces?
The whole repertoire of my work will be out. There'll be about 5 to 6 originals, 2 to 3 new pieces. The rest will be in metal prints as well as acrylic prints. The acrylic prints are a little bit bigger, 20 by 24. They have a little bit different depth quality to them. The metal prints are a little bit smaller, 16 by 20, and have their own quality to them as well. You'll be able to see all the work that I've done in the last 2.5 years.
Molly Amick, she'll have her art at Beatniks for the month of March with a reception Sunday, March 4th from noon to 3 p.m. Beatniks Coffee House, 1387 East 8th Street in Chico. Thank you, Molly.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you miss this show at its regular broadcast time, you can always listen to it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio. Thank you.